the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Now here's your host of the WJR Gardening Show, Ann Thomas.
And I'm here with Jim Miller, operations manager of the English Gardens Clinton Township store. And Jim, this show is all about container gardening.
Well, thanks for having me on the show today. I'm looking forward to sharing some information about container gardening.
And I want our listeners to know you've got great information and wonderful advice. An interesting and informative show coming up next. Welcome to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. I'm Ann Thomas. I am here with Jim Miller, and he's the operations manager of the English Gardens Clinton Township store. And Jim, it's really nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me today.
Tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, your background.
Well, I started with plants when I was a kid.
Wow.
My mother started me with planting the vegetable garden at a young age, and I just really enjoyed plants, and I ended up going off to get a degree in horticulture at St. Clair College, and I've been hooked ever since. So English Gardens for 18 years, and I enjoy the plants, and I especially love this time of the year with all the flowers and plants coming in and the excitement in the air. So I'm thrilled to be here and have a conversation with you about the plants that we're going to see this year.
Well, I'm glad you're here, Jim. I want to talk first, kind of start this show out, talking a little bit about container gardening. So first of all, what exactly is that? Is it just putting plants in pots, or what is container gardening?
It pretty much is just putting plants in pots. You have it right. But there's a lot of different things involved with that. It's picking out the right soil. It's picking out the right pot. What's really nice about container gardening is the versatility. You can put them on your porch, patio. You can put them around the patio sets. You can change your mind. You put some flowers in this year, and you didn't like them this year or this last year. Next year, you can change it up. So it's really nice, the versatility that allows you. I really like the idea of being able to change the pots with the season. So you could have an early spring container, change it up into a summer container, and then you can even do a fall container with fall flowers, and then you can even change it into a winter container. So we'll talk about some of those ideas.
So I'm going to kind of give you my experience with regard to container gardening, and we'll work off of that, because I think a lot of people are in the same boat as me. So I walk into the English Garden store, and I see a gazillion beautiful plants, all different colors, all different varieties. And I like container gardening. I agree. I think it's really interesting. I think it's great. I think it's beautiful for the landscaping. Okay, so now I'm in there, and I become completely confused. Like, okay, well, I'd like to put all of this in the container. So could you give our listeners some advice, and me, some advice with regard to what do I put in a container? What kinds of plants? Let's just start with the type.
Boy, that's a huge subject right in itself. Pick the plants that make you happy. I would say that's probably the most important thing. Pick plants that make you happy. If you like to do tropical plants, that's a big trend right now, is putting tropical plants in containers and using them outside for the summertime. You could do that. You could do perennials. A wonderful combination is to put like a Patriot Hosta together with some maybe double blooming impatiens in a black pot. What a spectacular view that is when you come up to the front door with that on each side of the door. I've actually done that combination a few times, and it turned out beautiful.
What about ivy?
Ivy is nice because it hangs down off hangs off the side of the pot. Gives you some texture. Also a shade-loving plant. So when you think about putting your container together, what you want to do is come up with all the types of plants that like the same conditions. So if you notice, and I said the hosta and the impatiens, those both like shade. So if we want to pick shade-loving plants and sun-loving plants, or part sun, whatever, you want to pick those plants and put them in the same pot so that you have success with all of those plants.
So how far apart should each plant be in a container, number one? And number two, I know this will vary on, you know, the size of the container, but on average, to make a beautiful display, how many different plants do you need in one container?
Well, that's going to depend on the size of the pot, of course. You could say if you have a 12-inch round pot that's, say, 12 inches deep, you may be able to fit five plants into that pot. We kind of have a little bit of a formula. And the formula is you put a thriller into the middle. The thriller is the taller plant that's going to give you a little bit of excitement or pizzazz in the middle.
Like spiky?
Yeah, something spiky or tall. And then we fill around the outside edge of that what we call the fillers. And the fillers are something like the Calipercoa is a good choice for that, or something that's going to have a lot of flowers. And then the spiller is an ivy, like you talked about the ivy. The ivies hang down off the side. So 12-inch pot, I would probably do three ivy, and I would probably do three or four Calipercoa. And then maybe in the middle, I might put in maybe a croton or something interesting in the middle, or a canna lily would be nice, too.
That would be beautiful. Yeah. Now, what about the soil? How do you figure that out and fertilizer?
The soil, you do get what you pay for. So I'm going to suggest that you buy a soilless mix. Okay, so sometimes you'll find some some potting soil that's, let's say like a clearance or a reduced price potting soil. Unfortunately, those soils typically aren't very good. You want to pick one that's light and airy. I'm going to suggest Espoma brand soils. I like those. They're light. They're organic. They can be used for growing vegetables as well as your typical flowering plant or house plants. So just make sure it's a soilless mix.
And what about fertilizer?
Fertilizers, you want to do a all-season fertilizer, or they call it season-long fertilizer. Osmocote comes to mind right off the bat. That's a brand name, but it's a season-long fertilizer. It lasts for 3 months. So you mix it into the soil following the directions, and that way you don't have to fertilize as often. But fertilizing with a water-soluble fertilizer should be every 2 weeks.
And is it true that you don't really have to do a lot of weeding if you're going to do container gardening?
Typically not. That's a wonderful aspect about container gardening, too, is that you plant your plants into the pot. The soil is already sterile. It doesn't have any weed seeds in it, so there's generally no weeding involved.
You know what's really pretty, I think, is if you're doing container gardening, and you could even take the containers and put some of them in your garden, but yet then have a regular garden surrounding the container gardening.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly doable. You could do that. And you could add a little bit more drama, or it could frame the garden. That would be nice.
And are you a fan of any particular kind of a pot? Is there a certain brand or a certain type that you like better than another for Michigan weather, let's say?
Right. The majority of our ceramic pots are frost resilient, we'll call them. They can handle the frost in Michigan. The majority of our ceramic pots are that way now. But the Jappy pots, those are a plastic brand made in Brazil. Very contemporary, large size. You can get them in all different sizes, but they have a very, very exotic look to them, very contemporary. So I really like those. So make sure whatever pot you choose, it has good drainage and drainage holes on the bottom of it.
Okay, so that's a very good question about the drainage. So at the bottom of the plant, there has to be, you don't want to cover the drainage holes. I should say at the bottom of the container, you don't want to cover the drainage holes, right? Because that way then you're never going to get the right kind of drainage, and eventually you're going to have trouble with the container.
Well, actually, if you're using a good soil, you really should have success without having to cover those holes. But in the past, we used to use like the terracotta, the broken terracotta
exactly
to cover those
of.
Holes.
Yeah.
That was because the soil, they were heavier back then. But now we have soilless mixes that are light and drain easily.
When can we start doing container gardening?
We can start, now. It's Mother's Day's coming up. We can go ahead and start planting containers right now. I think that an easy way of deciding what you want to do and picking out the plants is to come into English Gardens and ask one of our associates what would go well in your container.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Yes, Jim Miller. Our guest here today is Jim Miller. He's the operations manager of the English Gardens Clinton Township store. And we are going to continue our conversation with Jim in just a few minutes. You are listening to the WJR Gardening Show.
Welcome back to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Once again, here's your host, Ann Thomas.
And we just finished up a great conversation, Jim, about container gardening. And I want to turn now to planting annuals. First of all, explain, for those of us who might be confused, what exactly is an annual?
Well, an annual is a plant that you plant every year. It's expected to provide nonstop color all summer long, which makes them an awesome choice for your garden. It will provide you with season-long color, and they're usually really easy to grow. So,
what's your favorite annual for the state of Michigan? What do you like the best?
How can I answer that as one specific question?
That's as a horticulture expert, that was a terrible question. It's like asking somebody who their favorite child is.
Right. It's like asking me which flower I like this week, pretty much, you know?
But seriously.
But you know what? For container gardening, which is what we're focusing on, I really do like the Calabacoa. They just provide so much flower. Another name people call them is sometimes they'll call them million bells. But they do excellent in containers. And they cover just enough of the top of the pot that you still see the other plants in it, and you still see your vines hanging down from the side. So I like Calabacoa. And the choices of colors, so many choices to choose from. So I was going to say for container gardening, that is my favorite.
Now, what about with regard to just gardening in the ground? Some of the annuals that you see a lot around here, especially right now, are people picking up impatiens, begonias. Are you a fan of impatiens and begonias still? And do you like a variety, or, you know, what's your thinking with regard to those popular annuals?
Right. Those are flowers that are typically used in mass plantings in the bedding department. And the I like begonias because of the formal look that you can create with them. You can create masses of begonias and have them in nice, neat little rows, and yeah, how can you go wrong with those? A specific variety within them, just pick your favorite color. You know, I happen to like the pink ones, the variety called Vodka. That's a nice variety. Okay. And then on the impatiens, you know, we had the problem with the downy mildew.
I was just thinking about
the downy
that.
Mildew came along. Gosh, it seems, showing my age, I think it's about 7 years ago.
I think you're right.
And I actually lost my impatiens that year, too.
Oh.
So this year, and actually introduced, I think, 3 years ago now, there is a downy mildew-resistant impatient out there, and we do carry them. It comes in several colors, and they're sold in a super pack, and we carry those.
So, Jim, I have a big problem in my yard with regard to the deer and the little bunnies, and also squirrel, but to a lesser extent. And I'm always in search of a plant that would be resistant to these animals. And I know that with regard to impatiens and begonia, forget about it. But in your opinion, is there anything that's deer-resistant or animal-resistant?
You know, what I say is that if you're going to dangle candy bars in front of the animals, you have to expect them to want to eat it. That's the thing. There are a few out there that you can try, but really the majority of the deer are hungry. They're going to eat. So my suggestion is that you buy an animal repellent at the time that you plant. You see, these critters are out there watching you in the shrubs across the street, watching you plant, and they're so excited that you're about to feed them. But if you put an animal repellent down at the time that you plant, when you do leave that area, they come over to investigate. They see that's just not what they want, and it tends to keep them away. I'm going to suggest that you try animal repellents. right off the bat. Plant Skid has been a brand that I have found to very successful. People that come into the store who've had problems have had an excellent results with that product.
So what is in Plant Skid? I've heard several people talk about this.
Plant Skid is like dehydrated blood and probably some garlic oils in there too. Yeah, it doesn't smell that good for us either, but
but it does keeps them away.
It does keep them away. That's right. Yeah.
So I kind of like the look where you have, you know, beautiful boxwood or any kind of bush really, but then a beautiful annuals kind of lined up in front of them. Is that one of the styles that you see a lot nowadays?
Yeah, that's kind of a formal look, and absolutely, that would the begonias are great for that. You know, another plant that people are forgetting to utilize these days is alyssum, and alyssum makes a beautiful, it's almost like a carpet, and that's one for the full sun, and you can put that in front of your row of hedges, and it would look great.
What other kinds of advice do you have for us with regard to the annuals? For example, planting an annual and making sure the annual is properly watered and cared for.
So I suggest that you pick plants that are for the right location.
Yes.
Make sure read the tags. Every annual that we have has a care tag on it that says full sun, part sun, or shade. And knowing that what your conditions are is probably your first and most important choice. Then I would put some fertilizer down or some amendments into the soil in the area where I'm going to plant. And from there, then I would actually do the planting. A good amendment would be like a mushroom compost or some kind of an organic compost, composted manure maybe, along with a fertilizer, granular fertilizer. I like the Espoma brand fertilizers. They're organic too, and they're slow release, so they last for 6 weeks. I like that. It's just easy for me. I work so much this time of the year.
Yes.
It's hard for me to find the time to garden, so I like using products that have that residual effect. It makes it easier.
How do you feel about using weed killer or weed deterrent, number one? And number two, is there a certain type? If you're going to okay this, is there a certain type that you'd like to see gardeners use?
There are products out there that prevent weeds. Mulching is a great way to prevent weeds, truthfully. You can mulch with pine bark mulch or English Gardens hardwood mulch. That has a tendency to stop the weeds from growing into those annual beds. But you know what? There's also weed preventers. And if you're using a weed preventer, I would suggest using something like Preen. That's fine. It does actually work. Just make sure you're using it before the weeds take hold. And also you want to put it down after you've done your planting. Okay.
That's
interesting. Yeah, because you're disturbing the soil. Every time you disturb the soil, you're releasing weed seeds to the surface. And so if you put the Preen down before you plant, not only are you exposing yourself to that chemical, but also it's being disturbed and not going to be as effective. So put it down after you've done all your planting. If you're going to use a weed preventer in vegetable gardening, that is another subject matter all in itself, but you use an organic weed preventer like corn gluten. Corn gluten does work as it has some weed preventing capacity. We'll say it's not as effective as the Preen, but it does work.
So, you know, when you're talking about gardening, it kind of reminds me, at least at this time of year, like you have a beautiful, just kind of a blank screen. And so you take a look at the garden and you've cleaned it up and it's ready to go, and then you start. But just if you would give us the steps with regard to looking at that garden. So the first thing you need to do after you've cleaned everything up is maybe test the soil?
You could do it if you've had problems in the past. You could test your soil. A general pH reading, it's really generally your pH that you need to get tested. Your pH should be somewhere between 6.7 and 7.0 if for optimum growing a majority of annuals.
Then once you've done that, do you put a little bit of extra soil down before you get going with regard to the actual planting?
If you need to add soil because the area is lower and maybe not well drained, you could add soil at that time before you do your planting, or do some amendments of the soil with your compost. That is always great for the plants. They just love that extra boost that
sure.
they get it from that. Yeah.
And then when you're doing the actual planting, how far apart do the annuals go, and how deep down?
I'm going to refer you to read the tag. It really depends on the plant, on the size the plant is expected to be. So, you know, typically for begonias, I plant them closer. I think the label says to put them 6 inches apart. Well, I plant them 3 and 4 inches apart.
Because it looks pretty.
I want them to look great from the get-go. I don't want to wait, you know? So I go that route. A little closer, in the case of annuals, is probably better.
That's
gives
great
you
advice.
A better look right off the bat. Who wants to wait until July? We want the flowers now. We're ready. We've been waiting all winter. We're ready, you know?
Oh, this is such great advice. Thank you, Jim. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. We'll be back right after this. Listening to the WJR Gardening Show. I'm Ann Thomas. I'm here with Jim Miller. He's the operations manager of the English Gardens Clinton Township store, and he's been with English Gardens for a very long time. Now, Jim, spring has arrived. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and you've got some really nice ideas for us with regard to using hanging baskets. So talk a little bit about this.
Well, English Gardens has a huge assortment of hanging baskets. And you don't just have to use them as a hanging basket. You can put them right into the container that you pick out for your porch or patio. And that's instant color. I call it instant gratification, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's just taking care of it all in one. And that way, they're all picked out for you already. You pick a style that you like, the colors that you like, and you know all those plants are going to go great together. It's super easy. So
I feel a little guilty about that, though, Jim. I think I'm cheating.
Yeah, it's kind of cheating a little bit. But for some people, that's the perfect way to go. You know, if you're that type of person who wants to pick every individual plant out, go that route. But there are times when just picking out that container, that hanging basket, may be the best way to go for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing you could do is if you're just starting getting into this, you know, container gardening, you could do that the first couple years, and it will give you a really good feel for what works in your yard, and you could kind of try the container gardening on your own down the road.
That's also true.
So let's kind of talk a little bit more about the container gardening. What do you like with regard to the containers? Do you like to see when you pull up to somebody's house and take a look at their landscaping, you know, kind of different sizes, different variety, different color? Where are you on that?
I think it's very welcoming to see a container on the front porch.
I do too.
By the front door.
Yeah.
In fact, for years I had a container on each side of my front door.
Me too.
With just a simple Boston fern in each one. But that turned out beautiful. And it's very welcoming. There's something about having plants at the front door that just welcome you to the front and welcome you to their house, you know. And the shot of color is nice too.
What about drainage? I know that can be an issue if you're not doing it right or you haven't done it and you're just kind of getting started. Let's go over that again. Number one, the issue of drainage. What should you be looking for when you buy that pot? Make sure you have the right pot. But also watering containers.
Yeah. Drainage is extremely important. You do want to make sure there is a decent amount of drainage on the bottom of the pot when you pick out your pot. If it doesn't have drainage in the pot, you may see a really nice pot that you really like, and there's no drainage in the bottom of that hole. Well, just go ahead and drill a hole into the bottom of the pot yourself. So long as the water can escape, that's important. The plants otherwise will drown, or the soil will get sour and the plant will get root rot. So That's important that we have drainage in our pots.
And the soil helps with the drainage too, right? The kind of dirt that you pick for the pot?
Right. It's the importance of picking a soilless mix, a light, airy mix. That's why it's important to do that, because that water will drain through. Still hold on to the water, but not suffocate the plant.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I'm famous for trying to use the soil from the year before that was in the pot over the winter. Is that a good idea?
You're not the only person that's famous for that. there are other people doing that, too. It's not really a good idea. You know, you could put that soil into the compost. You can integrate it into your vegetable garden and let it just go back to nature again. The reason that we change the soil every year is because soil pH will go off. Mm-hmm. And it will, over the winter time, it'll hold on to all that moisture, and then it'll start to decay. And that decay process makes the pH go off onto the soil. So the soil becomes not the best medium for plants to grow in. It also becomes waterlogged, or holds more water than it should. So replacing that soil every year is a good idea.
I've also noticed it kind of looks like it's could have some mold in it, or maybe some of it just isn't all that healthy. That's probably another reason too, right?
I don't know about the mold as being an issue, but it definitely does degrade over time. So it eventually becomes spongier, holds onto the water. You'll even see a difference in the color, and that's probably what you're talking about. The soil gets darker looking, but that's because it's holding onto more water than it should as it breaks down.
So for you, when you're putting together a container for your house, kind of walk us through the steps of how you would do it. An average size container, because most people, they're dealing with an average size container. They're not dealing with something huge, or they're not necessarily dealing with something all that small.
Right. Well, with somebody like me, I have to change every year because there's so many varieties and options that I want to try out this year. In fact, when my customers come in, I'll tell them what I tried out last year. And
well, that's helpful.
I try something new every year, just so that I stay fresh. But right now, I'm obsessed with the caladiums. Caladiums have just been awesome, and I'm obsessed with them. So this year, the only thing is the caladiums, you can't put them in too early. You want to wait until it's a little warmer, which is perfect for me because I'm so busy in May. So I put the caladiums in June, exactly the right time to do that. So I tend to like the warmer season. I start out the season with pansies.
Oh.
And then after Mother's Day, when I get around to it, after the crazy busy time that everybody in Detroit is coming to English Gardens to buy their flowers in the same 2 weeks. So after that rush is done, that's usually when I plant mine. You know, I change it out at that point.
That's really important advice. Now, the caladium, that comes in different colors?
Yeah, it's mainly a foliage plant, but it has a bulb. And, yeah, they come in pinks and whites and different shades within that realm. And they're what I would call a thriller. And we were talking about earlier in the show about the thriller idea.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's something I put in the middle of the pot. And then I would find some complementary colors to put around the outside edge of that. You know, Pentas is a wonderful plant too. It's got a lot of smaller flowers on the top. It likes the same conditions as the caladiums. It's also a warmer season crop, so you find them a little bit later in June, the end of May. I also like, I put some of those in, and then I'll put the calabacoa around the outside edge. And that gives me my filler kind of spiller at the same time.
And so the key here, I hear you saying, is to try to keep all the plants that like similar conditions together?
Yes. Try to find plants that like the full sun plants. You know, usually the plants are categorized, so you kind of get a sense for what's going on. When you walk into my greenhouse, you kind of can sense what's going on. But ask one of us. We'll be glad to help.
Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah. And you also have a plant pharmacy, right?
Yes, we do. You bring a sample in of your plant or a picture. So a lot of times I can deal with it with picture, or our staff can. And we will give you a solution if it's there.
Yeah, this is great to know. You are listening to the WJR Gardening Show, brought to you by English Gardens. We will continue this conversation with Jim Miller in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Once again, here's your host, Ann Thomas.
Well, Jim Miller, spring has arrived. Mother's Day is just around the corner. You're the operations manager of the English Gardens Clinton Township store. And from listening to you throughout this show, I get the idea that people like to come in and get a little bit of advice from you when the planting season starts. Is this true?
It's true. It's amazing how many people know who I am.
Sure.
When they come into the store, they know me, and I'm always welcome any of their questions, and I love to give advice and help people out. I thrive on it, and they're welcome to come in anytime and talk to me about whatever their issues are.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's good for people to know, our listeners, our WJR listeners, because number one, it's nice to know that there's a gardening expert out there who enjoys helping them, who wants to help them. And I also think that it's great for English Gardens to have somebody like you on staff who's really willing to help and loves to garden. It sounds like you love to garden.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I do. All of our stores have someone there to discuss plant issues. And in fact, in the greenhouse, there's more than one person at a time in the greenhouse ready to go and answer questions for you. So you don't have to just search out for me. There's other people at our stores, too. I just didn't want to have a big line.
You don't want to have a giant line, especially at this time of year.
Right.
They could be out the door waiting for you.
Yeah.
And I do want our listeners to know that if they do have questions about gardening, they can go to WJR.com and they can look for the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens, and they can leave a question. And then we'll get that question to the right person, and you will answer their questions through, we'll just send an email back to that person, whomever's asking the question. And I think that's kind of a nice service at this time of year.
Yes, absolutely.
So taking care of the plants during the entire season, so that I'm smiling because this has happened to me, so that halfway through the season, everything doesn't start dying. What kind of advice do you have for us about that?
Okay, container gardens, because all of the roots and their environment is literally that pot.
Right.
That's their entire living environment. So whatever you can provide to that plant is going to tell you whether that plant's going to succeed or not. So watering daily, most likely daily, is going to be important. There's some products out there that can help you with that. There's you can attach a drip line onto your irrigation system so it gets watered automatically every day. We have accessories for the hose, the nozzle on the side of the house. You can attach what we call a water Y system or a rain drip system and have them watered automatically. Also, fertilizing is important. I suggest an organic product. Neptune's Harvest has a great product that's organic, and organic's the way to go, especially when you're talking about edible fruits and vegetables too. But you can also use the Espuma products too, and water soluble is fine. But fertilizing every 10 days to 2 weeks is a good way to go. Sometimes on something like Osmocote, you only apply one time a year, but still giving that supplemental feeding is important.
Now, are these products that you spray onto the plants or you put into the soil? How does that work?
The Espuma and Neptune Neptune's a water-in product. You mix it with water and you water the plant with it. And Espuma is a granular product. You just sprinkle it into the container and water it in afterwards.
I didn't realize how often you should fertilize. That's kind of important information. I've never done that before.
Oh, yeah. It does make a difference. The size of the plant, the vigor, it's going to make a huge difference in your results.
Okay. What kind of a summer do you like to see for beautiful plants, container plants? Do you like a hot, dry summer, a hot, wet summer? Michigan is so, you just don't know. It's so dicey.
Right, right. But what do I like?
Yeah, what do you like?
Well, shoot, I like a hot, dry summer.
Hot, dry summer. Dry, though.
Yeah, but that's me. What about the plants, right?
Yes, we're talking about the plants.
So the plants are the plants. So long as you are watching the watering on them, they really don't care. But it's easier if it's not quite so hot, because obviously a hot day the plant is going to dry out faster. You may have to water more than once or get a larger pot. If indeed the weather is going to turn out to be hotter or drier this year, you know, the weathermen never seem to be right. So just watch the pots. And if they're drying out, water more often.
Yeah. So the other question is, you've got the plants in the pots, and it looks like you need to do a little bit of pruning or taking some of the, you know, plants that have died or the pieces of the plant that have died off of the plant. Is that okay to do?
Yeah, but can I go back to the other subject just for a minute?
Absolutely.
We talked about a hot and dry summer. If it's really hot and dry, you may want to try some of those products out there that prolong the moisture content.
Oh, that's good.
Something
advice.
Like Soil Moist is one that comes to mind. Sorry, Soil Moist. That will extend the length of time between watering. So just an idea, and now we'll go back to what the other question was.
Now I'd like to go to, how do I take care of the plant? Do I take the little buds off? Do I touch it? Do I prune it?
Modern varieties typically deadhead themselves. The Calibrachoas, Million Bells, most of the petunias take care of themselves. There is some cleanup that you'll have to do, but it's certainly not like the days when we had to go out and deadhead a geranium.
Yes.
The company was coming over, Jim got outside and deadhead those geraniums. I'm not knocking the geraniums, though, because the intensity of color is unmatched.
Beautiful.
So you still want those.
Are there some new varieties of plants that you like out there that just have the most beautiful color ever? Intense color, I should say, or color that kind of accents the pot. I know you talk a lot about the caladium, and it sounds like you like the pentas, and you like the geraniums. Anything else that you're kind of partial to?
There is a new theme that I'm really interested in.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's night gardening. I've become very interested in night gardening. So all of the whites.
Yes.
All of the whites are really where I'm going now, and I really enjoy lighting underneath
the pots.
Oh,
I bet it's beautiful.
So, but specific varieties, there's just so many. I didn't come prepared with a list of new varieties.
Sure. But I love the night gardening. And you're doing that because you're using different shades of white, and then it kind of pops with
pops.
A light?
Yeah, it pops at night. So, and just the littlest lighting underneath can really make the difference. And maybe that's because I enjoy relaxing when I get home after a long day at work and starts getting dark. And I'm still enjoying my garden at 10 o'clock at night.
So. Absolutely. Jim Miller, Operations Manager of the English Gardens Clinton Township Store. It was really nice talking to you and getting to know you and getting this great advice about gardening. You're fabulous.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. I'm Ann Thomas. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.